Yesterday, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray announced that Jorge Carrasco's potential raise had become a political football. And in what some journalists called a major understatement, the mayor said that there are issues at Seattle City Light. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
What were some of the issues that had you second-guess the raise for Mr. Carrasco?
It's really a balancing act. We have one of the largest public utilities in the United States that is functioning really well. Rates are stabilized. A lot of the turmoil we saw over a decade ago is mostly gone. So acknowledging that is important. At the same time, contract was agreed to that raises some serious questions. A small contract of around $17,000. Now, this didn't happen on my watch, and it would be easy just for me to say, okay, I'll get rid of the guy I inherited. But I have to balance that out against what I also see as an agency that is functioning in a way it didn't function a decade ago.
You also said yesterday that you had some questions about Jorge Carrasco's judgment. Can you be more specific about those cases?
I think entering into a contract with, I believe the name of the company was Brand.com, was a questionable judgment. And I think he basically wasn't clear in answers he gave the press around a 10-year-old request on his part for salary adjustments. And those are the judgments that I question. But again, I believe if you balance out how well the agency is functioning, how we stabilized rates going forward, I think that's an important thing to measure it against. And again, the politically easy thing for me to have done was simply to get rid of him. I didn't hire him. Yeah, I inherited him from a previous administration. The contracts are from a previous administration. That would have been politically easy for me to do, but I'm not sure it would have been the best thing for the ratepayers in the city.
You previously said that the pay range for this top job at Seattle City Light needs to be raised to match what the going rate is. And you've also said you want to have an independent study to recommend what an appropriate salary might be. How do those two statements jibe?
They absolutely do. First of all, we know that if the current superintendent was not in place, that we don't have the salary that would attract a competent person to run this public utility. And I want our public utilities to be competitive with private utilities. So by borrowing a model the state has where there's an independent citizens commission that sets those salary ranges, some form of that, I think, applied to City Light, maybe throughout departments, I think would end some of the politics around the political raise or politics around raising the salary. And this is an issue that has gone on now for this superintendent for over a decade, and it's an issue that's gone over several superintendents. And I just don't think it's a good way to make public policy.
Now, Mayor, a lot of listeners are probably scratching their heads and saying, gosh, this sounds so inside City Hall. Why does it matter?
Why does it matter? Well, there's several things. It matters because it's important that the public have truthful answers from our department heads. Secondly, it matters because we need, and this is a city that supports its utilities, and we need folks who are competent in those roles. That's why it should matter, because if the agency is not stable, we'll see rates go up in a way that's not sustainable.
I'm speaking with Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Mayor, Seattleites are just getting to know a new police chief, Kathleen O'Toole, and you've added yet another new face to the City Hall. You appointed Scott Kubley to head Seattle Department of Transportation. Why this man?
So it's not an unusual thing with a new administration and a new mayor that you have new department heads. I chose Scott after we did a national search and a thorough vetting because of his background both in D.C. and in the city of Chicago, a background in transportation that looks across the modes. We in Seattle tend to look at sort of transit versus bicycles versus light rail versus pedestrians. And what we need is an integrated approach to transportation that is directly connected to how the city grows. And I think he has the experience and the vision to do that.
You mentioned cars versus rail versus bicycles. There has been an ongoing tension between motorized vehicles and bicycles. Mr. Kubley is currently acting president of Alta Bicycle Share. How will he help bridge the gap when he clearly comes from a bicycle kind of background?
Well, he comes from more than a bicycle background. He comes from a background that has dealt with roads, has dealt with light rail, has dealt with streetcars. So he has a really broad background. And the important thing is the system has to work together. And I think he has a broad enough experience to make the system work together. Roads have to work with bicycles. Bicycles have to work with transit and so on. And actually, one of the best things that you can do for someone driving a single occupancy vehicle is to make sure we have more transit and we have bike lanes that are separated and not in the middle of traffic. That's how you actually help folks.
Are you talking about maybe increasing a Seattle-run transit system?
Absolutely not. I believe that we need a regional system. People move in and out of Seattle based on jobs and recreation and other things. You know, lots of people live in the city and go to work on the east side. Lots of people from the east side live there and come to work in the city. You need a regional answer to transit. But we also need a city answer to how we integrate that regional system within our city, how light rail works with buses, how we build out our own bicycle system, the fact that something like 30 to 40% of the city, particularly in the north end, have no sidewalks. If we want to create a walkable city, a city where people have other choices, we've got to get the sidewalk part right, we've got to get the car part right, and we've got to get a regional system that works with our neighbors right.
And lastly, one of the biggest challenges for anybody running SDOT has been what to do when it snows. What directives have you given Mr. Kubley about that? He's not from here.
Well, he's from D.C. and Chicago, where it snows a lot.
Yep.
You know, obviously snow is an issue in Seattle, and we need to be prepared for it. He's been asked to review the current plans, update them if they need to be updated. One of the challenges we will always face is this is a city where it snows not that often, and we can't justify the expense it would take to buy all the equipment if we wanted to have as much equipment as Chicago or D.C. where it snows often. So we'll always be challenged here because of the costs versus the actual events.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray is with us. New Police Chief Kathleen O'Toole's been on her job less than a month, and already she's dealing with an officer-involved shooting. The man who was shot and killed brandished a weapon at officers after a very long car chase. That officer is placed on administrative leave. How will Chief O'Toole handle this, and what role will you take?
Well, first of all, I think the most important role I can take is to empower my chief to run the police force. And we have put in place, as a result of the reforms, the intervention team that was on site after the shooting that's carrying on the investigation. In addition, she's asked for additional help from the State Patrol to review this investigation. So I think that the appropriate methods of following up on a shooting involving an officer are in place. We'll now have to see if they work. We do know that the individual involved who was shot had a criminal background, and we do know that he had a gun and was pointing it at the officer.
Is the approach to an officer-involved shooting different since the city has entered into the agreement with the Department of Justice to reform the use of force practices by the police department?
Absolutely, on several levels. One is on the level of training, and that's an ongoing process that we're not finished with. How you train officers to deal in situations where they're faced with people who are armed. But in response to an actual shooting, we now have these teams that are on the ground immediately to investigate. We have the ability to call in other agencies. So what we're seeing is a system that was set up as a result of the reform process, which is a result of the federal court's action. We're seeing those now be activated. And we have an opportunity while we're still under the monitor to see if these work. And if they're not working, to adjust them so they do work.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We just heard from the mayor. Now for a little perspective, we turn to a frequent guest to this program, C.R. Douglas, political analyst at Q13 Fox. Hey, C.R., thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
Well, so you heard the mayor. Let's start with Seattle City Light CEO Jorge Carrasco. The mayor will not give him a $60,000 pay raise. And I got the sense maybe that he's kind of lukewarm on Mr. Carrasco.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just became politically impossible for him to give a raise at a time where you had this series of bad judgment calls by the superintendent. I think any one of the problems might have been survivable, but this sort of series just made it too hard. You just can't justify as a raise, especially of $60,000, quite a hike at a time like this.
Now, C.R., it sounds, though, that what the mayor's doing is, well, on the one hand, he's made the utility, the publicly owned utility, function better and be solvent. And he sounds like he's a little bit reluctant to let that kind of administrator leave.
Well, and he is right. The utility has had a lot of success on kind of the standard metrics, you know, credit ratings and rates are low and the power, you know, has kept on and all that kind of stuff. I mean, really, the recent problems have not been management problems per se. They've been PR problems. So have they gone to management and have there been some kind of, you know, real scandal involving the utility per se, it would have been a much easier decision to get rid of him.
This isn't the first time Mayor Murray has reversed himself on a major decision announced in public in February. He agreed to reverse a finding of misconduct against a Seattle police officer, and then he reinstated the original punishment just 3 days later. What, you could look at this as a great flexible decision maker, or maybe not. So what is your sense of how the mayor handles decisions like this?
Well, in some ways, they are similar. I mean, the interim police chief put him in an uncomfortable position on those discipline decisions. The superintendent of City Light put him in an uncomfortable position. I think the straw that broke the camel's back here was the fact that Carrasco didn't tell the truth about who sought this pay increase. He denied it came from him, said basically it came from the mayor. And I can just imagine behind closed doors, the mayor saying to him, "What are you talking about? This wasn't my idea. I was pretty fine with $250,000 for you, you know?" So I think the trust that was broken on that pay increase, and he talked about it today, he talked about how you can't have a superintendent that isn't telling the truth, was the final straw. And it's damaged their relationship, and it'll be interesting to see if he keeps them in the long run.
You think Carrasco will leave on his own?
Well, I mean, even today, the mayor's language is, you know, the easiest thing I could do would just get rid of the guy, you know, but then he says, but I don't think it's justified, et cetera, et cetera. But even talking in those terms, you know, talking about the possibility of just sort of getting rid of the guy isn't the kind of thing you say when you're sort of, you know, four square behind them. You say, hey, they made some problems, but they're a great person and we're going to keep him. But he's almost wanting Carrasco to exit. I mean, I think he's also frustrated that Carrasco has wanted other jobs, been a finalist for other jobs. You know, I mean, this is not a team player, if you will. Yeah, the utility's been run great, but when you're frustrated because you're not getting paid enough, you keep asking for raises and you flirt with other places, you know, why do you want to get really behind him if you're that mayor?
I'm talking with C.R. Douglas, political analyst at Q13 Fox and a frequent guest on The Record. Well, so we go from Carrasco to this guy, Scott Kubley, who's the newest on the mayor's administrative team, the new head of Seattle Department of Transportation. What do you know about him?
Well, not much. I mean, he gave a pretty extensive press conference yesterday. It's clear this guy is into alternatives. This guy talks a lot about bikes, pedestrians, streetcars, transit. That's his background. That's his love. And in fact, he's most recently part of a, you know, leader of a bike share program.
Right.
So the interesting thing, my first reaction was, wow, anyone who didn't like McGinn, thinking that McGinn was sort of too bike-ish, is going to be really unhappy with his choice, theoretically. I mean, McGinn never put this kind of guy as head of transportation. Now, to be fair, he's done a lot with roads and that kind of stuff. But this is a guy that was brought here to beef up alternatives, make them more attractive, alternatives to the car.
Now, the mayor made a little joke. I guess maybe it's kind of a nerdy joke that this would be, you know, his second choice of a job, heading SDOT, referring, I assume, to his work at the state legislature?
I guess so. I mean, listen, it's always a lightning rod job. You know, there are problems always with cars. There are problems with bike. There are problems with alternatives. There's never enough money. There's always traffic. Everything is too expensive to fix. So it's never a position that you want. But he campaigned on this almost as much as he campaigned on police and police reform. I mean, he made it clear in the campaign he wanted a new era in transportation, didn't want this sort of win-lose kind of style that McGinn brought to it, wanted a lot of win-wins. It was clear he was going to get a new person, and that's what he's done. Unlike City Light, which never came up in the campaign, there was never a sense you needed a new leader. And so I think part of what's frustrated him about this whole thing is, Carrasco, I didn't want to have to deal with you.
And now I do.
I didn't want to have to deal with you, and now I do.
Really, I sometimes wonder, you know, journalists talk about these sort of things, but our listeners, maybe especially Seattle residents, perhaps are going, why do I care? Why should they care?
Well, I think you, as the mayor said, you care if City Light's well run, because when it's not, your rates go way up. And we learned that from the last superintendent. I mean, this guy was brought in, Carrasco, because of the problems of the last superintendent, where we had to take out $700 million in debt because of not being ready when the energy crisis hit in 2001. So it makes a big deal who is at the helm of City Light. It makes a big deal who's at the helm of SDOT. Certainly, if you're interested in bikes, if you're interested in alternatives, if you're interested in having streets improved, you want a guy or girl who knows that stuff, who's done it, who's good at it. If you have the wrong people, it really sets you back.
C.R. Douglas is political analyst at Q13 Fox, a frequent guest on The Record. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.